I doubt in a crowd this size, how many of you memorized the verse this week? You've got it down pat. I see one hand. Wow. Two, Brother Jack. All right, there we go. We got two. All right, I'm not going to ask either of you to stand and quote it. That's why other folks wouldn't raise your hand. You say, if I raise my hand, he's going to say, all right, quote it. We wouldn't do that to you. Mark 5:19. You got it? Let's say it a couple times, and we'll say the reference, and we'll say the verse, okay? Mark 5:19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Now, folks, that was weak. I just got to be honest with you. Let's try it again like we're alive, okay? And that we're glad to be here. We're excited about being in Sunday school this morning. Tell you what, if you want to turn these lights on over here. Clifford, you back? I see somebody back there. Turn the, there you go. Thank you. They need a glare. There we go. That's better. Now you can see my glory being revealed. Good. Let's try it one more time with energy and some life, class. Come on. Here we go. Let's try it again. Mark 5:19. Howbeit, that was so much better. I'd say that's 64%. Let's go for 90, okay? One more time, and many of you did very well that time. One more time, and let's see if we can really do it. Hold your heads up, hold your Bibles up, speak out, class. We are going to be a fine voice and diction speech class this morning. One more time, here we go. Mark 5:19. Howbeit, very good. How many of you feel invigorated now? You're awake now, you're ready to go. Good, good. All right, let's do this. Let's stand, and I want you to greet those around you. Try to find someone you don't know and learn their first name at least. Good morning. Good. Good to see you this morning. And we'll stay standing. All right. Very good. Let's see. I need a volunteer from each section to give me a name of someone you met you do not know. Ira? Who? Christy. Got first and last name. That is impressive. Very good. Somebody in the middle here. Nancy. All right. Everybody met the Rourke family today. That's good. 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 I just met them today, too, and found out what Shane's business is. Let me think here. It's a diesel trucks, high-powered diesel truck, special parts. He makes these special parts. If you've got a diesel truck you want to rev up a little bit, Shane is the man to see. Very good. Someone over here. Glenn, very good. I saw a hand back there too. Who raised? Yes, ma'am. All right, very good. We met all kinds of people. Great. Let's pray. We'll get started. Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for each one who's come out to join us as we study your word today. And Lord, just open our hearts now to your word that we'd be obedient to the word of God. Lord, we need to hear from heaven this morning, and we need to understand your word, and we pray that you would guide and direct our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Recently, I heard a story about a very wealthy man, had a lot of holdings in this city, many businesses and a lot of properties, and he was going to leave for a time and kind of take a trip around the world and see all the sights and really didn't know when he'd be back. And so he called in two or three of his top men and said, look, I'm going to be gone. I want you men to run my company while I'm gone. And he said he knew these guys pretty well and said, look, I'm going to let you take over this part of the business, and you take this part of the business, and you take this part of the business, and I'm going, and I'm not really sure when I'll be back, but I'm going to come back, and we'll just see how you do. So he went away, and after about a year or so, he came back and checked up on the guys, and boy, they had done a great job. This one guy had, his part of the business had grown tremendously. Another guy, he talked to him, and boy, his part of the business had done well too. There was one guy, though, that he just really was discouraged about. I mean, he had really helped this guy and tried to train him in the business, and this guy had just bombed out. In fact, he'd taken all the things that this guy had given him to look over, and he'd used them for his own benefit and had not invested in the master's work. By the way, does that story seem familiar? How many read about that story? How many read about it? Where did you read about it? In the Bible, yes, indeed. It is a parable. Matthew chapter 25. Turn there. But isn't it interesting? That parable the Lord told some 2,000 years ago could be told today. Very, very true story. Could be applied today. And this story is about stewardship. Now, when you hear the word stewardship, I should have done this morning. What word comes to your mind? Money. Money. However, see, you thought all we do talk about money this morning. Money is a very small part of stewardship. Stewardship includes a whole lot more than that, folks. We want to talk about stewardship this morning and want you to understand what a steward is, what stewardship God has given you today. Did you realize that every person that is a believer, if you are a child of God this morning, I'd like you to raise your hand. You have been born again. Keep it up. All right, everybody who's got their hand raised is a steward. God has given you a stewardship. Okay? Now, we want to understand this morning what that stewardship is and how we can be good stewards, because the simple matter of fact is, if you raised your hand this morning, there's going to be a day when you're going to stand before the God of heaven and you're going to give an account for your stewardship. It's going to happen. You say, when? I don't know, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I want to help you, number one, this morning, understand what a steward is. And then secondly, I want to give you four principles of stewardship that if you understand completely, will help you to be prepared so when you stand before the Lord, you'll be able to give a good report. Okay? All right. So you should be in Matthew chapter 25 by now. Matthew 25, let's read this story, this parable. Verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them, notice the next two words, his goods. Whose goods were they? Well, they were the Lord's goods, the owner's goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. And by the way, don't be confused. When we talk about talents today, we're talking about abilities, maybe gifts. Here, this is talking about what? Money, all right? Gave 1 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man, notice, according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Notice again, his Lord's money, not his money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, notice, same thing he said to the first guy, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then He which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or with interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. First of all, this morning, I want to see the stewardship, if you're taking notes, the stewardship particulars. Particulars about stewardship. Number one, to find out what a word means, we want to go to the Bible and see how it's used. The word stewardship is only used 3 times in the Bible. It's found in Luke chapter 16. You don't need to turn there. It is a story about a man who was a steward. He was given money by the owner, and he wasted it, and because of that, he was cast out of his stewardship. The word steward is found 14 times in the Bible. Twice in the Old Testament, or actually, it's used in two very, very familiar situations in the Old Testament. Can you tell me 2 men who had stewards in the Old Testament? Who? Abraham. And here's the bonus point. What was his name? Eliezer. Very good. You must be a missionary's wife. That was impressive. Eliezer was the steward for Abraham. There's another man in the Old Testament that had a steward over his house. His name was, the man had name was Joseph. You remember that? Joseph had a man named, well, we don't know his name, whatever his Egyptian name was. You can make it up if you want to. And in the New Testament, in Matthew 20, there is a steward over a vineyard. In Luke 8, there is a man that was named Chuza. He was Herod's steward. In Luke chapter 12, it talks again about stewards. I've mentioned Luke 16, the parable of the steward. In Titus 1:7, talks about the bishop is a steward of God. Wow, that's quite a stewardship. Now, how do we define the word? It's actually made up of 2 words. It's a compound word. Part of the word means house, and part of the word is law. So it is a person who is over the house. Okay? That's pretty easy, isn't it? Some synonyms, manager, overseer, supervisor, superintendent. In my thesaurus in Microsoft Word, it said a park ranger. There you go. Some of you want to be park rangers, stewards. By the way, does the park ranger own the park? No, he's just there to do what? Take care of the park, make sure people act right in the park. It also said a warden, and of course the warden doesn't own the prison, but he's there to oversee it. In my Roget's thesaurus, I thought this was neat. A steward is a seaman. There you go. That worked out well. If you don't know, my last name is Seaman. So a steward, so I'm a steward too. The dictionary said a steward is someone who manages somebody else's property, finances, or household. All right, do you know what a steward is now? This means yes. Humor me, okay? Yes, all right, very good. All right, so we know what a steward is, a manager and overseer. Now, let's explain it. The owner of the property picks a person to oversee that property. He may have a lot he has to do, has to go elsewhere. He needs someone to help him, so he makes him the overseer of this property. He is not the owner, he's the overseer. And at some point, there will be a time of accountability. So again, this is all kind of review. Now let's apply it. Number one, God is our master owner. And I'm going to get to that in the principles here in a moment. But I'm just kind of giving you an overview of things. And he's given us a stewardship. Now again, when you think of stewardship, you think automatically of money. But I want you to know, folks, that your stewardship is not just financial. Now that's a big part of it. But did you realize that your stewardship is also involving the talents and abilities that God has given you? We all have different gifts. Again, I was talking to Shane here, and he is a machinist and can do all this fine tooling and stuff. Well, hallelujah, I couldn't do that. I mean, if I sent off these parts and worked for him, all their engines would be blowing up. They'd have a terrible time. Well, here's a gift that God has given to him, ability to deal with detail and deal with hundreds of thousands of inches and all these things. And that's an ability the Lord has given him. Some of you can't hardly start your car in the morning. You can't play a radio, you know, you're just really struggling. God has given us all abilities and talents. That is a stewardship. The Lord has given you treasures or money. That is a stewardship, undoubtedly. The Lord has also given you something that everybody has the same amount of. Time. Time. Now, I'll just real be honest with you. The Lord really convicted me about this. Are you a good steward of the time God has given to you? So here's the stewardship, folks. God has given to us talents, time, and treasure that we are to invest for the kingdom of God, and someday there will be an accounting. Now think about this. Boy, this is sobering. Someday, I'm going to have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account of how I used my time and my talents and my treasures. Now, that is a sobering thought. Now, by the way, unless you say, boy, Seaman, you're in big trouble, you're going to be there too. So, now, I want to give you some principles this morning, four principles of stewardship. Now, there are others, I'm sure. But I believe if you learn these four principles and apply them and live by them, then you can be a good steward. And when you stand before the Lord someday, you will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Okay, you ready? Again, I encourage you to write these down. Here's four stewardship principles. Number one, the ownership principle. The ownership principle. Now, I'll just be honest with you. We probably could give you this one. And if we really believe this one, it would solve most of our problems. The simple matter of fact is, folks, God owns how much? No way, he owns 10%, right? Now, let's be honest, isn't that how we think? I get my paycheck, I own 90%, God owns 10%, right? Wait a minute, no. Here, the ownership principle changes our thinking completely, folks. God owns everything. Now, look, you get this principle settled in your heart and life, and stewardship will be a whole lot easier. In Psalm 40 or 24:1, it says, the earth is yours. Now, if your Bible says that, we need to check out your Bible. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. When Solomon or David was taking up an offering, we've got time. Let's turn back to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. Chapter 29. David is taking up an offering for his son Solomon so Solomon can build the temple. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. First Chronicles 29:11 says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Who owns it all? God does. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Why do you have strength? God gives it to you. Why do you have ability? God gives it to you. Now, therefore, God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and thine own have we given thee. What's he saying, folks? And he comes down to verse 17. He says, I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. Why did they offer willingly? What did they understand? God owned it all. God owned it all. Turn quickly to Psalm chapter 50. Now I'm going to take some time with this point, because if you miss this point, we're spinning our wheels. Psalm 50 and verse 7. Psalm 50, verse 7. Psalm 50 and verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel. I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings that have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. Now, you see, they're not sacrificing the way they should. God said, I'm not going to take it. Look, he said, verse 10, every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. What's he saying? Folks, I own it all. Now, what is the basis of God's ownership? How can God say, I own everything? Because he made it all, didn't he? I read to you Psalm 24. I did not give you verse 2. Let me read verse 1 and 2 again for you. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. The Creator has a right to own his creation. God created it all. He owns it. But now if you're a believer, there is double ownership. Because what did mankind do? They rejected God's ownership. And they were taken slaves by sin and were taken into the slave market of sin and were bound. And what did Christ do? Christ the Redeemer entered the slave market of sin and shed his blood to redeem us, to buy us back. So now are we not only his because of creation, we are also his because of redemption. And that's why he can say in 1 Corinthians 6, what? Can you hear Paul? We read that verse. What? Know ye not that your body... No, think how Paul was saying, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price? Don't you get it? Hey, believer, everything you own belongs to God. You are just a steward. Now look, folks, if you realize this, it will destroy all the arguments. You say, well, it's my money. I earned it. Oh, really? Who gave you the ability to earn that money? Who gave you the intellect and the strength? You say, I am a self-made man. I developed my abilities. I did it. We need to buy you a white coat. Put you in a padded room, folks. If it weren't for the goodness and grace of God, you could do nothing. Nothing. We say, well, I went to school and I learned how to do this and I strengthened myself. I work out every day so that I can have the strength to do these things. Who gave you life? Let's do this. Let's all breathe together, okay? We may suck all the air out of the room. We'll see. On three, we're all going to breathe, okay? One, two, three. Who allowed you to do that? God did. What if God said, last breath? Every breath we breathe, folks, God allows us to do that. Who gave you your brain? Now, some of you are saying, well, my husband, you know, doesn't have much of one, but well, what he's got, God gave him. All right. I mean, we get so cocky.
Well, I'm so smart, I've studied, I'm pretty smart, I know all these things.
How do you know those things? Well, God gave you that ability. If it weren't for God, you couldn't hold your job. If it weren't for the grace of God, you couldn't make one penny. It all belongs to God, folks. Now, this changes the question. Here's the question we usually say. How much of my talent, my time, and my treasure should I give to God? Isn't that how we think? I get paid. Okay, it's time to write out my check to the Lord, not to the church. It has the church's name on it, but it's going to the Lord's work. How much of my money should I give? There is a call for workers in the church. How much of my talent and my time should I give? Now, when you realize that it all belongs to God, here's how it works, folks. It changes the question. Now the question is, how much of God's time and God's talent and God's treasure should I keep for myself? I can see the wheels are turning. The smoke is rising. You know, I can see it. See how that changes, folks? It all belongs to God. And if it weren't for God, you wouldn't have anything. So, number one, the ownership principle. Now, you say, okay, Seaman, I understand that. That seems pretty clear. But if God owns it all, why did he give it to me? Okay? Secondly, the investment principle. The investment principle. We've had the ownership principle. Secondly, the investment principle. Now, the simple matter of fact is that most people think God gave them the time, the talent, and the treasures so they could do what? Enjoy. So they could get as much stuff as they could get. You heard about stuff Wednesday night from Brother Steve. My speech teacher said never use the word thing or stuff. But that's a good word, stuff. Because that's what our lives are made up of, isn't it? Things and stuff. And most of us think, you know what? God gave me that money so I could buy as much stuff as I can get. It is... Here's the word your kids learned very young in age and you didn't have to teach them. It is mine. A preacher gets up and talks about money and you say, you can't have that money. It is mine. The preacher gets up and says, we need you to come out and do this. We need your help at this such and such a time. Come and give us your time. And you say, oh, wait a minute. That time is mine. And the choir director gets up and he says, boy, we could use a few more tenors in the choir. And you sing tenor and you say, no, that talent is mine. Should we pray and have an invitation? And we spend our whole life using what God has given us to climb the corporate ladder, to get as much stuff as we can, to buy all we can, to have as much enjoyment as we can, to have the happiest life we can have, and we never do a thing for God. Well, I would tithe, but I don't have enough money to tithe. I would give to Faith Promise for World Missions, but I don't have enough money. I would give to Special Offerings, but I just can't afford it. I would serve the Lord, but I'm just so busy. I just don't have time to serve the Lord. Well, I would do something with the Lord, but man, I'm just not very talented, you know. And I'm afraid that I will fail, so I'm not going to do anything. By the way, if you're afraid of failure, the best way never to fail, don't do anything. Just sit in the pew and come and stare at the preacher. Now, if you get up and sing, you may fail. So I wouldn't do that. Take a bus route, you might fail. I wouldn't do that either. You know, you say, well, I'll be a greeter. Well, you may forget somebody's name. I wouldn't do that either. Boy, that'd be embarrassing. So we go through our life spending all of God's gifts and treasures and talents on ourselves. Now, what's going to happen when you stand before the Lord? You see, what we have done, we have laid up treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. There's nothing permanent. And when you die, how much of that you can take with you? There is no investment in eternal things. There's no or very little service for God. There's no or very little giving to God or sacrifice to God. There are no crowns that lay at His feet. And we're and in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Let me ask you a question. Does all include you? Includes me. Folks, we're all going to appear there that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad, and the fire of God's judgment will be applied to your life. Let me ask you, if you are a person who has taken the treasures of God, the talents of God, and all the things that God has given you, all of your time for yourself, what is going to happen to your life when the fires of judgment are applied? It's going to all be burned up. It's going to be gone. So why did God give us these things? Well, let me give you two things. God gave you those things, folks, and we taught on this some time ago. I'm not going to go into this much, but He gave us these things to glorify Him, to exalt Him, to give people a right view of Him. 1 Corinthians 10:31, where therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. God gave us these things, folks, so we can give people a proper reflection of who He is. But secondly, He gave us these things so we could minister to others and serve others. We are to minister with the talents God has given to us, with the time He's given to us, with the treasure He has given to us. Turn to 1 Peter 4:10. I've got several verses here. I'm going to see if we can get them all in here. 1 Peter 4:10. Turn quickly. Go to Revelation and back up and you'll have it. 1 Peter 4:10. Now, Peter's talking about some spiritual gifts here, gift of love, so forth, hospitality in verse 9. And in verse 10 he says, as, now what's the next word? Every. Does that include you? Yes. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good, what? Stewards of the manifold grace of God. Why did God give you that time, treasure, and talent, folks? So you could get as much stuff and do as much stuff. Why? So you can minister to others. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, he's talking about spiritual gifts. He says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Hey, let me give you a heads up. Here it is. Look, when you got saved, God gave you spiritual gifts. Okay? To be used where? In the church. Every man to profit with all. That means God has given me spiritual gifts to use in the body of Christ. That means God has given to Ira Hay spiritual gifts to use in the body of Christ. That means God has given to Nick Rim spiritual gifts to use in the body of Christ. That means God has given Bennett Woodard spiritual gifts to be used in the body of Christ. That means God has given Mickey Archer spiritual gifts to use in the body of Christ. And you're a steward of those gifts. Now, if that is true, how many believers that are members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church should be doing something in the church besides sitting? Said, I've got that covered. My job is to hold this pew down and to criticize the preacher, all right? And Brother Graham years ago, so funny. He said, some people think they have the gift of criticism. My official position at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church is the church criticizer. Boy, that solo, he really went flat. Whoa, that was bad. Well, that sermon was weak on the third point. Why'd they paint that room that color? What's it doing? But there is no gift of criticism, by the way. If you got it, it's from the devil, not from the Lord. In Colossians 1:25, Paul says, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God." And that's an interesting word because it's the same word translated elsewhere in the Bible as stewardship of God, which is given to me, Paul says, for you. God has entrusted us, folks, with spiritual gifts and time and treasure to be used in the work of God. Now, here's the great thing. We're still talking the investment principle here. If you invest it all in your life, it will burn. If you invest it in the work of God, boy, it's great. Listen to some great verses here. Luke 6:38. "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." I love popcorn. From time to time, I'm at the VA on Wednesdays. Heads up, on Wednesdays, they sell popcorn. There you go. And when they give me that bag of popcorn, I don't want it to be half full. Do you? I mean, I want them to hand it to me in pieces of popcorn on the top, and they're falling off on the ground. I mean, that's how it ought to be. You know, I got some fries the other day. My wife and I went to this hot dog place over here. And usually they give me all kinds of, I love their French fries. And this time they gave me this bag and it was weak. It was weak. I mean, it was just hardly full. Now look, that's not what you want, is it? You want it filled and running over. And what he's saying here in this passage is, look, if you will give, you're going to get it back to you. Now you say, well, I gave $50 and I didn't get any money back. Well, it didn't say money, does it? He said it's going to be, it says, "For the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." You said, nobody ever does anything for me. Nobody's never given me any money. No, let me ask you a question. What are you doing for them? Well, nothing. I'm just waiting for them to give to me. Well, good luck with that. See, here's a Bible principle here. He says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." Is that true? Is that God's word? Is God's word true? Okay. 2 Corinthians 9:6. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully." And Galatians 6, 7-9, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." You say, all right, Simon, you talked me into it. It all belongs to God. And I'm going to give it to God. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Any money I've got left over, I'll give it to God. If I've got any extra time this week, I'll serve the Lord. If I've got any talents or abilities that I don't need to make money, then I'll use those for the Lord. Okay, third principle. The first claim principle. First claim principle. Pastor spoke on this the other day. I won't spend a whole lot of time here. But in Luke 9... talked about some men that volunteered to come to the Lord to serve him. And one of them said, the first man volunteered, and when the Lord said how hard it's going to be, he said, I don't think I want that. Second man comes along and said, hey, this is going to be great, but suffer me first to go bury my father. The third man said, hey, let me go first to bid farewell. And folks, that spirit is, the church is full of that spirit. You know, I tell you what, when I get out of high school, I'm going to start serving the Lord. When I have time, I'll have more time then. And then you get into college. Yeah. And you're working a job and you're going to college. Well, boy, when I get out of college, I'll have more time. Then I'll serve the Lord. And then you get married. And you say, well, you know what? Once we get settled in, you know, we get the house, you know, we get the house built, we get all the stuff we need and everything. Then I'll have time and I'll serve the Lord. And then what happens? You have children. Well, when the children grow up and get out of the house, then I'll have time and then I'll serve the Lord. And they grow up and they're gone and you're so tired you can't do anything. And how much do you serve the Lord? Well, I just don't have time. I just don't have enough ability. Look, listen, Matthew 6:33. Let's say the first part of the verse together. Here it is. Matthew 6:33. "But seek ye first. Are you sure? Oh, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. Now let's just be honest about that. How much faith does it take to give God the leftovers? The extra. By the way, if you're waiting to have extra money to start tithing, good luck with that. It's never going to happen. How much of your money does God own? All of it. And he asks us to give back a portion, the first fruits. By the way, I did not finish quoting Matthew 6:33. But you know, that whole passage, Steve, is about stuff, isn't it? And it's always amazing to me. It covers what the men want and what the women want. What are the women concerned about? What to wear. What are the men concerned about? What to eat. It's pretty sad, but that's just the way it is. And we're consumed with our whole life. We're going about, I've got to have the new dress. We've got 27 dresses. I need a new pair of shoes. You got 27. Yeah, but it doesn't go with this outfit. I need 12 more shirts. You know, I could take 12 more shirts and make 15 outfits. You know, it's wonderful stuff. Men, all we care about is give me steak and potatoes. I'm happy. And we go through a whole life and we're consumed with stuff. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. First claim principle. I got to hurry. One more principle. I'm about out of time. You say, all right, I understand it. But I'll just be honest with you. I don't want to do it. Fourth principle, the heart principle. The heart principle. The reason that we are not good stewards is not because we don't have enough time. It's not because we don't have enough talent or because we don't have enough treasure. The reason we're not good stewards is right here. It's the heart. The heart is the problem. We don't have a willing heart. When your heart is right with God, you will be a good steward. Now, I do not have time for you to turn there. I'm going to have to hurry here and get done. 2 Corinthians 8, let me just read to you. It says, moreover, brethren, we do to you the word of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, these folks were taking an offering. Now, here's the crowd that was giving the offering. How that in a great trial of affliction, oh, that's good, and their deep poverty, oh, wonderful. These folks are broke and they're going through hard times. And yet, it says, they abounded unto the riches of their liberality. These guys are broke and they're going through tough times and they're giving and giving and giving. Why? Verse 5. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves unto the Lord. You see, when your heart belongs to God, you're not going to have any trouble with stewardship. If you want to, folks, if your heart belongs to God and you love God, he's going to give you a willing spirit. It's amazing to me as you study the building of the tabernacle. Here the Israelites have just come out of Egypt. They have spoiled the Egyptians. They have taken all their treasures and all the jewels, and they are loaded down with stuff. But they're out in the middle of nowhere in the wilderness. The Walmart wasn't even open. You know, they couldn't go buy anything. And so Moses comes and says, hey, give me all the stuff you got in Egypt. I'm going to build this tabernacle for God. We need gold. We need silver. We need bronze. We need lamb skins. We need all kinds of stuff. We need all this stuff to build this thing. And can you see some of those Israelites? Well, now let's see. If we wander out here for 40 years, I got to have groceries. Let's see. I got three kids and a husband that eats me out of house and home. You know, I got to have this much groceries. I better hold back some of those jewels. And these shoes, man, I got to have shoes to walk around 40 years. Goodness gracious. I mean, and I got to have clothing to wear, and I better hold. Did they do that? If you read in Exodus chapter 36, Moses had to go to those people, and he said, wouldn't you like to see this someday? Pastor gets up. We're not going to take an offering today because we've got too much, okay? So just hang on to it. That's what Moses did. A bunch of people living out in the wilderness with no source of income, and they gave so much that Moses said, stop! Why is that true? In Exodus 35, 29, it says, the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. And every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made in the hand of Moses. They were good stewards, folks. They had a willing spirit. They had a willing heart. Oh, by the way, footnote. Did God provide food for them every day? What about their shoes and their clothing? Wouldn't you like to have a shoe? Now, ladies wouldn't like this, but guys would. A pair of shoes that lasted 40 years. Poor women, you know. How many pairs of shoes you got? One. Why don't you buy something? It won't wear out. I mean, it's just terrible. You know? You say, okay, Seaman, you got me. I'm going to give my time, my treasures, my talents, but I'm not happy about it. Wait a minute. Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with glumness. I'm going to serve the Lord, but I tell you what, I just wish I could be home doing other stuff, and it's really rough, and I just hate it. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. And finally, in giving, in 2 Corinthians 9, 7, he says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not, here's my tithe, I've already put it in this morning. No, please, please. I don't really want to give it. We have to have our ushers come along and steal it out of your hand and pull it, and you have a tug of war. What does he say? Let him not give it grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, in conclusion, the question is not, are you a steward? You are a steward. The question is, are you a good steward? Are you a good steward? Now, someday we're all going to stand before the Lord, and we're going to give account of your time, of your talent, of your treasure. This week, I encourage you to be a good steward. Use it for God. All right? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word. I pray that you'd help us as believers to be good stewards of the things you've given to us. Help us drive this principle, these thoughts, home to our hearts, that we might use our talents and our time and our treasure for you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you've got about 11 minutes, according to my watch. Choir will meet you downstairs post